Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Amen. Well, in the power of Christ we stand, and in the power of Christ you may be seated. If you're wondering what your pastor's favorite song is, that was it. If something happens to me, Ricky Clark knows, if we don't play any other songs, that's the one. What a beautiful expression of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the hope that we have. That lasts not only for this life, but for all eternity. Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you, and we are so thankful for your love in which we stand. We are so thankful for your power in which we stand. We are so thankful in your forgiveness in which we stand, and we are so thankful for your grace in which we stand. And so, Lord, now as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would impart to us your wisdom. Lord, that we would leave this room more like Jesus than when we walked in, for it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bible to the Proverbs, and we're going to talk about wisdom. And if you are a YouVersion live event user, you can tune in now. I'm going to tune in and follow along with my live event in addition to the printed Bible here, because we're going to talk about some nuggets of wisdom from God. Many of you, like me, love the Proverbs, and you can read the Proverbs, and they are easily digestible, because a lot of times they're not really connected. It's just a bunch of nuggets of wisdom, and frankly, they're pure gold. I mean, they're incredible. That's where I got the title for the sermon tonight, Golden Nuggets. So we're going to look at some nuggets of wisdom, and I want to give you the scarlet thread that will run through it. And it's actually a line spoken by Job as he was in conversation with his friends who weren't great friends. It's the theme of the message tonight, and it's there at the top of your notes if you're taking notes. With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. That's Job 12:13. With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. And we talked about, over these last few weeks, epistemology. Where do we get our knowledge? How do we come to know? And there are people chasing all sorts of sources of knowledge. But you and I are gathered in this room, and we say that we get our knowledge from God, who has spoken through his word, who speaks today by his Holy Spirit, and who guides us and carries us along and shows us what to do and shows us where to go and shows us how to be and leads us all the way home. Where do we get our wisdom? Well, we get our wisdom from Almighty God. For with God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. And I want you to know it is a remarkable thing that God has chosen to share that with us. One of my favorite pastors is Tommy Nelson. He pastors Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas. And he said, I've never gotten over the notion of a Bible. He said, I just can't help it. I can't get over the notion of a Bible, that God would speak in a way that is accessible to us. You remember when God tried to speak to the people of Israel there at the mountain? They covered their ears. They couldn't stand it. It was too much for them. But God has spoken to you and me in a way that is accessible, and he has recorded it in his word, so that we can access his wisdom anytime we want it, anytime we need it. It is the best-selling book in human history. I would argue it is also the most underread best-selling book in all of human history. Amen? The Protestant Reformation happened because there were clerics who were trying to control the dissemination of the Bible. And with the advent of the printing press, it was able to go out to the masses, and all of a sudden people were reading it and saying, well, that doesn't line up with what he just said. And over these last 500 years, we've gotten to read it for ourselves. We've gotten to take it up and read it, enlightened by the Holy Spirit and able to understand it. And what's shameful is that though these great advances have come, so often we live it laying on the shelf. When I used to work at Scotty's, we had some mechanics who would keep it on their dashboard. And you could tell the ones who put it on their dashboard for show and the ones who put it on their dashboard to actually engage with it throughout the course of the day. And it wasn't on how weathered it was or how feathered the pages were. No, it was by looking at their lives. The same's true for us. Once the word gets in you, it will stir in you, it will change you, it will challenge you, it will push you. because God has given us his wisdom. So I want us to look at four major themes that run through chapters 25 through 29. Now, I'm not going to read all of chapters 25, 26, 27, and 28, and 29, but these are more Proverbs of Solomon. And so I'll give you several examples of each of these themes that run through. Number one is this: God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. Now, that's not new to you. You know that in James 4, 6, it says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's repeated in 1 Peter 5, 5. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And we've seen that play out in life. But I want you to listen to these Proverbs that remind us of this truth. First, Proverbs 25, 6 and 7. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Isn't that remarkable? I had a mentor one time who told me, he said, as you grow, you're going to be invited to sit at certain tables in certain rooms. Wait to be invited to speak. He said, when those who have gone before you call you into the room, give it some time. Let them invite you to speak. You're there to listen first. You'll contribute later. And there's a lot of wisdom there. Proverbs 25, 27, it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. If you were here on Sunday, we talked about a very timely admonition from our Lord Jesus, who said, do not practice your righteousness before others to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew 6, 1. Those are the words of Jesus. Do not practice your righteousness before others to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. But rather, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, do that in secret. And in our day and age, it's almost a virtue to post the good things that we do. Look at me giving this. Look at me praying this. Look at the suffering that I'm undergoing for the gospel. And Jesus says, the likes you get, that's your reward. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're looking for a pat on the back, you can have it here. Or you can let God see those things and give you the reward when the time is right. In the same way, the proverb says, it's not glorious to seek your own glory. Proverbs 26, 12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You know, God's pretty straightforward. Have you noticed that? He doesn't mince words. Be not wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 27, 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. In other words, have you noticed that people notice those who actually have it going on? You don't have to broadcast it. They'll broadcast it for you. Everybody knows. So you don't have to manufacture it, but the proverb would say, let another praise you. Wait for them to bring it out. Proverbs 27, 21, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. I want you to think about something. You know, there's a bunch of old adages that we follow that, you know, what is character? Well, it's what you look like when nobody's watching, what you do when nobody's around. But I heard someone say one time, if you really want to see what's in a person, don't put them under pressure. Put them on top of the mountain. Because you'll really see what's inside of them when they're at the pinnacle of their glory. Who they are will come out, and that's exactly what the proverb says. A man is tested by his praise. How do you handle it when they're praising you? Proverbs 28, 26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And what does that imply? That wisdom comes from counsel, and counsel comes from gathering around you those who might know better. You remember why the kingdom split after Solomon died? Rehoboam. Remember Rehoboam? Rehoboam had become king, and he went to his father's advisors, the elders of the land, and they said, look, your father was kind of hard on the people. If you'll lighten up a little bit, now I'm paraphrasing here, but if you'll lighten up a little bit, it will go well for you, and they'll follow you wherever you want to lead. And then he went and talked to his buddies, And his buddy said, no, you go out there and you say, my little finger is bigger than my father's thigh, and I'll increase your workload. Well, he had two differing opinions. Who did he listen to? He listened to the young man. And he went out and he told the people what they encouraged him to tell them. And the kingdom split. The kingdom split. So, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Proverbs 29:1. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. It's being coachable. My son is stepping into a new level of athletic competition right now. And one of the things I'm trying to cultivate in him is being coachable. So you say yes, sir, you say no, sir. That's one thing. That's respect. But then also be willing to listen when they tell you that you're not doing it right. And be willing to adjust. I told him, I said, son, in all of my coaching career, which is vast and wonderful, you all didn't know I'm one of the great coaches of the 20th century, but peewee baseball, man, whew. We almost made it to the tournament one year. And so one of the things, though, that I learned was that, particularly at the high school level, I will take a young man who will listen and who will do what I'm asking him to do because I just might know a little bit more than he does at the moment, than one who's endowed with talent who won't listen. Because the one who will listen and who might learn how to get better and not stiffen his neck is going to be a better player for the team. And then finally, Proverbs 29:23, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. Pride is a dangerous thing. Pride is a dangerous thing. Usually comes before stumbling, for a fall. But humble yourself, God would say, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of these proverbs. Number two, not only does God oppose the proud, God admonishes the foolish. God admonishes the foolish. Proverbs 26:1, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. You know, the Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So immediately rejects the source of all true knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of the fools. That reminds me of something one of my supervisors told me one time. They said, be wise or you will pay stupid tax. Does anybody know what stupid tax is? Has anybody ever paid stupid tax? You made a bad decision and you had to pay for it. The rod, the proverb says, for the back of fools. You'll appreciate this one. Proverbs 26:11. Not only is God straightforward, but sometimes he's descriptive. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. You remember this from your high school days. How many of you had that friend who kept going back to the same boyfriend or girlfriend over and over and over, and it never worked? They broke up 1,000 times, but they thought maybe this time it'll work. Or maybe they dated the same type of person over and over and over, and it just didn't work. What's the definition of insanity? Keep trying the same thing, expecting a different result every time. Well, the way God says it is, like a dog that returns to his vomit. That's gross. Why would God put it that way? Because it's also gross to watch a fool just repeat the same folly over and over and over again. Proverbs 27:12. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. And then Proverbs 27:22. Crush a fool in a mortar and with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. And that perhaps is the truest definition of a fool. One who even pays the price for his or her foolish decisions and yet continues on will not receive wisdom even from the experience of being crushed. So God opposes the proud. God admonishes the foolish. Number three, God calls us to exercise wisdom. God calls us to exercise wisdom. Now, this next passage that I'm going to share with you will make you scratch your head at first. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." And verse 5 says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." Well, which is it? Do you answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself? I had a friend who's now gone on to the great cloud of witnesses who says, remember, pigs don't know pigs stink. Or do you follow verse 5? Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So what do you do with that? Well, that's where God calls us to exercise situational wisdom. Which one of these do we need to follow in the moment? And not only does God call us to exercise situational wisdom in the moment, but God endows us with his Spirit to be able to discern. It's the spiritual gift of discernment, knowing what to do in this case. Sometimes you need to answer the fool in his folly. And sometimes it's not going to do you any good. When you answer that fool in his folly, he's just going to drag you down to the same level, and he's going to enjoy the wrestling match that follows. So God calls us to exercise wisdom. Proverbs 26, 6. "Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence." This was useful for me this week. If you're following along with the reading plan, you might see that God speaks through his word, and it's amazing how it all seems to work together. And I had a message that needed to be sent by someone who probably didn't need to send it. So I heard this word and obeyed God, and it worked out in my favor. Proverbs 26, 17, you'll like this one as well. "This is good in the age of Facebook and social media arguing." How many of you found that people sometimes argue on social media? Anybody? You know, there's an unfollow button you can hit if you don't like to see that. But the proverb says, "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears." You could just let the dog pass, but no, you have to comment. You have to get in the middle of it. You have to engage with it. You have to be heard. And God says, that's like grabbing a passing dog by the ears. It's not going to end well. Proverbs 29:9. "If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet." Yet again, don't let them drag you down to their level. They'll enjoy the wrestling match that follows. In Proverbs 29:11, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." It puts me in mind of James, who reminded us to bridle our tongue. Such a small part of the body, but can do such damage. You realize we've all lied to our children, don't you? If you've told them, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," you were trying to help them. I've told mine that. But how many of you found that words can be much more hurtful than sticks and stones at times? So God calls us to control our tongue, and we can do so by the power of his Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29:20. "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." So be slow to speak, quick to listen. How many ears do we have? Two. How many mouths do we have? One. I think that was by design, don't you? And then finally, number four. God calls us to sharpen one another. And I only have one verse to share with you. It's one of my favorites. Proverbs 27, 17. "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." And that's part of what we're here for. We're here to be sharpened by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here among us, but the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit dwells in me as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls us to stir one another up toward love and good deeds. So as we stir one another, we sharpen one another. As we push one another, we sharpen one another. As we encourage one another, we sharpen one another. And as I've mentored younger men over the years, one of the things I like to add to this is iron sharpens iron, but when the iron strikes the iron, there is usually sparks. But that's part of the sharpening process. It's part of the molding process. You know, Tucker Sine didn't get to play 4 years of college basketball because he wasn't ever sharpened. I mean, Tucker, you had a great shot, but I bet over the years some people came along, gave you some tips, and said, here's how you can make it a little better. And you did something amazing. You listened. You said, yes, sir. You tried it and got to play 4 years at the collegiate level and had a very successful basketball career. It's remarkable. You know, Bree, you had to pick up somewhere that you can flash boil those peaches and pull it out, and that skin will come right off as the Peach Festival comes this weekend. Somebody had to teach you how to make pies, and that crust, I don't even know how you make that crust, but that crust is dangerous for me. It's hard to put down. We sharpen each other. Those of you who teach Sunday school, those of you who teach Monday through Friday school, what are you doing all week? You're sharpening. Those of you who've served in our military, what do? You're sharpening. Iron sharpens iron. And so another man sharpens another. So, where does all this leave us? I told you, there's not a great scarlet thread that comes through this, except for the fact that God is wise and God has loved us enough to share His wisdom with us. So I want to read to you Romans 11, 33 through 36. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. And it's a beautiful benediction to what we've heard from God's Word tonight. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. God has loved us enough to give us His wisdom. God has loved us enough through Christ to give us His Holy Spirit, who is always with us, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. God has not left us to figure this life out on our own. Incidentally, have any of you ever tried to just figure it out on your own and see what happened? How'd it go? Didn't go well for me either. So God has loved us and He has shared His wisdom with us. My prayer is that we would be the kind of people who would listen and who would obey and who would find a fuller and more abundant life because of it. Will you pray with me? Oh, Father, we love You and we thank You so much for Your kindness to us. We do not deserve Your word. We do not deserve Your wisdom. But Lord, You have spoken it to us. You have given it to us. And tonight we have seen yet again that Your wisdom is pure gold. Lord, we thank You for these nuggets. They fit together. Let us, Lord, not be proud. Let us not be foolish. Lord, let us exercise wisdom. And let us encourage one another and sharpen one another. Let us be to one another the gift that You intended for us to be to one another. And Lord, we pray that as we follow You, we would bring others along with us, that they would see our good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven, but also, Lord, that they might learn from Your wisdom as it is expressed in our lives. Let us be an example so that they might heed Your word. And so, Lord, as we prepare to go back out into this world, we pray that You would help us to do so in the wisdom of God. We join our voices together to pray again the words of that sacred prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you.